to episode 24 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Andy, Lindsay, Sandy, Robin, and Amy. You will never meet a traveler who brags, "Every year I pack more for my trips, and boy do I love it." But for many, packing light is a radical concept, or it means two checked bags instead of three. On the other side of the spectrum, carry-on packers embrace the challenge of packing everything they need in a 22-inch or smaller bag, plus a personal carry-on, whether it is for 7 days or 7 weeks of travel. Join us today with our guest, Heidi Rodriguez, a traveler who has embraced packing light for a variety of reasons. She's written for Travel Fashion Girl, a website devoted to packing, packing lists, toiletries, clothing, and accessories for travel. Her articles include one on liquidless travel, yes, it is possible, and another on how to make a tiny custom makeup palette that takes up no space. Are you a traveler who brings everything in the kitchen sink when you go somewhere? Get ready to learn some great tips on how minimal packing can change your travels. So, I think we should just open it up to questions. Lindsay, what do you have for Heidi?
Oh, Heidi, I'm so excited to get to ask you. I want to know how I can fit everything I own in a carry-on.
Well, you can if you have 10 of them.
She owns a lot, too.
What's the secret? Do I use packing cubes? What do I do?
No, I think the secret is you have to really change the way you think about what you bring with you. I got into this because my husband is a minimal packer, and he did not want to wait for my checked bag, ever. So I had to kind of go the way that he was, which was always bringing carry-on. It's more about, really, to me, changing the way you think about what you bring with you and how you travel. In the beginning, I was kind of had the mindset of, oh my God, what can I cram in this bag? What do I have to cram in this bag? What do I need? And as I've gone on through time, I realized you really need very little. It's more about changing the way you think about what you actually need to bring. And that's pretty scary at first, because you think, oh, what if this happens? Or what if it rains? Or what if there's a snowstorm? Or, you know, whatever, you know, thing could possibly happen. But the reality is, unless you're in some very remote part of the globe, you can just buy it. You know,
if an emergency comes up.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people want to be prepared for every eventuality while we are traveling, but, you know, you're saying that's not necessarily the case?
I don't think it is. I think for me, some of the excitement of traveling is not being prepared for every single thing. You know, if you have to go to a pharmacy, I mean, granted, if you're not really sick or anything, but if you have to go to a pharmacy to get some aspirin, in my case, doing laundry, one of my best memories of a trip to Europe was doing laundry in Paris. We met incredible people in the laundromat.
Did you get your stuff out in the River Seine and back?
Exactly. No, we actually did laundry in a laundromat that was featured in a Woody Allen movie that we didn't know until my husband was on a plane a week later and said, "That's a laundromat we were in." Midnight in Paris. So, I mean, I think part of packing lightly too is you've got to make peace with the idea that you have to do some laundry as you go.
That's not hard for me. I do laundry on vacation, and I pack my little cube thing. I use the gel packs, mm-hmm. So I pack those in a little baggie. That's not hard for me at all. But my problem is, I have a big family. And so, Oh my gosh, I have twins. And, when they were born, I had a 2-year-old. And when we would go on vacation, we had two pack and plays. You know, all the clothes.
Sure.
Double stuff. Like, so much stuff. We couldn't fly anywhere. But now that they're older, it's hard. So what do you do then? You know, how do you get your kids to not pack every stuffed animal they own?
I think that's really tough. And there are actually blogs out there of mothers of young children.
Oh, really?
How they pack minimally. And they are very detailed about it. And they're very precise about what they allow their children to bring.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. You have to limit what they're allowed to bring, because
I have discovered that having my children carry their own stuff limits them. Yeah, they started packing less now that they have to carry their own bags. Yeah, I've noticed a huge difference. And I was actually, just before we started recording, I was just sharing how my daughter packed for a weekend trip, and normally she would have like a huge roller bag, and she had a little string bag back. She'd cut way back. Brought makeup, and she brought, she brought stuff that I would have never brought on a weekend trip. So what do you do about makeup? I mean, what's this whole makeup palette thing that takes no space? I'm fascinated.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
It's kind of fun. You make your own. You take all your old powders of your broken blush and your eyeshadow, and you use 91% alcohol, rubbing alcohol.
Margarita?
Margarita alcohol. Yeah, just slip that in there somewhere. You basically can make your own little palette. Like, you make, like, a little 2-inch square palette and have everything you need in there. And then another, I have another 1-inch square palette that has 12 lipsticks.
You go to, like, the craft store and buy a blank palette?
Or no, I just use, like, an old junky Maybelline palette or whatever small thing
just
I
just break
have.
All the makeup out of
break,
it.
Yeah, when it's broken up or old. And then I actually have a tutorial. I can give you the link for it. They're kind of fun to make. It's messy.
In the show notes. Yeah,
yeah, it'll be in the show notes.
But you end up getting a palette of the stuff you already use, unlike stuff you buy that it might be 4 colors in there that you're
so
like,
you
I would never wear these.
Do you section it out?
Mm-hmm. I do. Oh, I section it out, and so like you could have like 5 or 6 eyeshadows. Small.
Andy, are you taking notes?
But there are actually powder. There are powder substitutes for just about everything. There are powder substitutes for hair gel that actually work really well. There's a tooth powder, which sounds disgusting, but it's actually, but you know what? It's really selling at Whole Foods, and it's actually really great. There are just lots of alternatives to liquids.
So we're talking about not necessarily space, but like they're not bringing
liquids. Well, both. So, and I have a friend that works for TSA, and I'm always grilling him. You know, is this a liquid? Is that a liquid? And finally he said, look, if it flows, it goes. in your 3-1-1 bag. If it doesn't really flow, it doesn't go. So mascara isn't.
So review the 3-1-1 bag, just for our listeners who don't know what that means.
Anything liquid or gel, 3 ounces or less goes into a quart-sized baggie when you fly. And then you have to take that baggie out and so that TSA can take a look at it.
So you said liquid and gel, so not toothpaste.
Toothpaste doesn't flow, so no.
Okay, and
no.
Not mascara.
Mm-mm. Now, this is for the United States. Other countries, when you go through, may have stricter regulations based on, you know, what's going on in the world at the time. But in general, no. Mascara doesn't. Solid deodorant doesn't. Lipstick usually no, but lip gloss, yes, maybe, possibly. So try to keep as much out of that bag as you possibly can. Lush makes some wonderful solid shampoos and conditioners, so they don't have to go in there.
Do you like that kind of conditioner? That's interesting.
Yeah, the conditioner's kind of weird.
But that's actually a good question. Sunscreen. Sunscreen can cost a fortune at an all-inclusive or something like that.
Yes, and that was one of the reasons we used to only check a bag was for sunscreen. But then I realized, so you can buy these things called GoTo, GOTOOB. They're 3-ounce silicone containers, and you can fit 3 3-ounce silicone containers in your 3-1-1 bag, so you can end up with 9 ounces of them. That for me has been enough. I know other people, they really slather it on. It may not be enough.
So you're having to transfer lotion, sunscreen into these things.
But they're really great tubes. They're silicone, and you can get every drop out of it. They sell them on Amazon or Ariane.
For Lindsay, who has to carry everything with her when she travels, what is the tip for, like, what's her starting point? What's the way that she sort of releases her mental attachment to her stuff?
And so the thing that helped me a lot, Lindsay, was nobody cares what I look like. That was the big realization. I mean, I have to be happy with what I wear and what I look like, but nobody's judging me. And I kind of always felt like I had to have enough clothing to look unique every day and look special every day. And in reality, nobody cares. I could wear the same thing every single day. I don't, but I could. And probably nobody would. You know, I wear a couple different scarves. I dress a lot in black or in tan or in gray. And, you know, you really can't tell the difference. Like, I don't know about you, but I have few items of clothing I love, and I wear those over and over again, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when you go on vacation, you bring those, and then you bring the other stuff that you don't love. But what do you end up wearing? The stuff you love, because it makes you feel good. So I just started just bringing the stuff I love. And that's, I may want to burn it at the end of 2 weeks. I don't love it anymore, but...
Mix and matching is something I've always tried to adhere to. In a previous life, I worked as a tour guide, and I was on the road for 9 months of the year with one suitcase. And so I basically had 2 or 3 jackets that I would interchange throughout the course of a 12-day tour. But as long as I had pants that interchanged with those as well, and shirts that interchanged, and occasionally I'd wear a tie just to mix it up a little bit, you know, I could get away with not really taking a whole lot. Mixing and matching, I could get through a 12-day tour, no problem. And then I'd spend a couple of days doing laundry at the end, and dry cleaning at the end of it, just so I didn't kill myself with the outfit.
or anyone else, for that matter.
I mean, what about if you're going on a cruise and you're performing on it?
You know, that's a little more challenging. I did it in a carry-on bag. We did a 7-night on Oasis of the Seas. I had a strapless dress. For me, for stuff like that, it's fabric. Fabric is what's going to make the difference of whether you're going to fit it or not. You need a slinky fabric that's going to pack down to nothing.
No crinolines.
Yeah, no crinolines. That's right.
Had a bunch of sequins.
Right. Yeah.
One of the things I do on those formal nights, and I don't know if you've heard of this, I don't know, but I made this trick up myself. If we did, we can name it. But anyways, I would take my gowns or my dresses that I'm going to wear, and I'll roll them. And it also helps with my wrinkles. And I just feel like, I don't know if that's truly a thing that saves space.
I think it does. And, you know, like, if you're really short on space, you take some of these wonderful packing cubes. E-bags makes these. I mean, some people use Ziploc bags, but, you know, they're going to bust when you need them the most. These e-bags, you can cram stuff in there like you wouldn't believe. So if it's stuff that's not going to wrinkle too badly, underwear or your undershirts or leggings or whatever, you can cram so much into those bags.
What is that? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, how do those bags save any space? I don't understand the physics of it.
It's not, I don't know if it's so much that they save space, but they organize. So if you're on the move and you have one bag that has all your underwear, all your undergarments, all your, or another one has all your shirts, you can take it out of your suitcase, toss it in a dresser drawer, and then when you're done, you toss it back in the suitcase. And because it's all squares and rectangles, it's all going to fit in. So you don't have to constantly be trying to, you know, fold this, fold that to make space. It's not that they save so much space, they just organize you really well.
Do you take jewelry when you travel?
Very little.
Okay.
Yeah. I have this cheap wedding ring. And I do.
Oh, we won't tell your husband. Sorry, Hannah's husband.
No, listen to this. On purpose, we bought cheap wedding rings.
So is it different for Andy as a guy? I mean, is one bag packing super, he makes it sound super easy.
Did
he
it.
Did it for months. Yeah.
Yeah, you already did
cruising. One thing I'm touching back on cruises again, you know, you have these elegant evenings. That's the thing I struggle with most, particularly when it's a longer cruise or you're, for example, if I'm going back to visit my family in England and there's a wedding involved and I've got to take clothes, what should I really be thinking about? Or what should guys be thinking about in general when they're packing for a trip?
Well, and I think, too, that it's not going to be for every trip. You know, nobody in their right mind would suggest to a bride on a destination wedding that you should just do carry-on. Or if you're going to one city, I have a friend, he left for Paris the other day, and he posted on Facebook, he's like, look, I can almost fit it into a carry-on. He's like, I've got four pair of shoes, though. And I'm like, well, why are you trying? You're just going to Paris. Like, you're going to Paris. You're going to be in a hotel. You're not traveling anywhere. It's not like you're on a train. I do this because I'm on trains a lot, and nobody's going to help me. I have to do it myself.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a need to do it, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say do it. But in the case of a cruise, I think men can get away with a lot. You know, you could have a good pair of, like, silky pants and a good dress shirt, and that could get you through a couple of nights. And those same pants can be paired through with, you know, those kind of, like, Tommy Bahama, tropical-y type of...
See, my big issue, I tend to take more shirts because I tend to be maybe sometimes a little bit clumsy with a glass of red wine.
Black. Wear black.
Yeah, or somebody's clumsy around.
I will say we've discovered that tuxedo rental on a cruise ship is actually way better than you think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried that. We did the Allure of the Seas a couple of years ago, and it was a Christmas cruise. And we'll normally, for a formal night, you know, we won't dress. I'll dress up to the nines, but my husband will not. He doesn't like ties. He doesn't like things wrapped around his neck. It's very, uncomfortable for him. But he rented a tuxedo because I begged him to, because there was a themed night. There was this 20s night, and I had this 20s costume, and he had to have some sort of tuxedo in order to sort of fit in. And he looked great. And I was really, I mean, these are really nice tuxedos. They had Armani. And
how much
they,
are they?
It's not, I don't remember how much it was, but I want to say it was the same as any tuxedo rental that we've ever had on land. It was not exorbitant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, the one thing I would worry about, and I have a honeymoon couple who's sailing in a couple of months, and he is a big and tall dude. And when I say big and tall, he's like 6'6",
wow,
or something, like maybe 6'4".
Yeah.
So he's like, is it going to be long enough? I'm like, I don't know, because they're on a smaller ship. You know, if he was on the Allure, the Oasis, or one of these huge mega ships, probably okay, but not so comfortable with. So in that case, maybe bring one. But if you're a normal guy and, you know, you don't have to really shop in specialty shops for your clothes, you're probably going to be fine with tuxedo rental on a cruise ship. When we were in Orlando Airport, they were redoing the baggage claim area. And that couple was there for, they'd been there for like an hour and a half. Do you remember that?
Was it when I was going to pick up the rental car?
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. So, like, there was this couple that had been sitting there for an hour and a half waiting for their bags. It just took forever.
I mean, that's what got me into this. I've been in Mexico City for 2 days wearing a pair of shorts and a grimy t-shirt because my bag was lost. And that's not a city you want to be wearing shorts in. That's like a major cultural faux pas. And also, I was in Italy last year and Vladimir Putin was in town. And the traffic was so messed up that we sat in this taxi for 45 minutes. And we finally got smart enough to say, how close are we to the hotel? And he said, said, oh, you're only like 5 blocks. So we could just take the bag and go. Like, the whole idea of being mobile to me was really
what you said about, like, not wanting to lose your luggage. I do race trips, and that is a huge thing for me. Like, the thought of me flying somewhere to do a run and my bag getting lost with my shoes, something like that, because you can buy a lot of stuff, but you never want to do a race in something brand new, you know?
Especially
you,
new running shoes.
No, not shoes, not new sports, but nothing, you know?
Right. So. I turned into a magician for my rides, a lot of my carry-on.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So wait, Lindsay, are you saying you've actually packed just a carry-on?
No, she's saying she packed her running clothes.
But I have taken trips in the past where I've just done a carry-on, but I've had help. My husband's really good at rolling things and getting things in there. The problem is coming home. Doing it on my own. And, I've used the space bags, but the e-bags and stuff like that, the travel bags. But what I found really helps is the solid plastic bags with a zipper, because they do compress. Like some of those solid packing travel bags, and you can just cram all your light t-shirts or underwear and stuff in there. And I can do it every once in a while. I struggle with the feeling like I have to be prepared for a bunch of situations that'll never happen. If I decide to, you know, extend my trip and go somewhere else?
Well, Heidi, you touched on something just a minute ago. You said you had a bag disappear in Mexico City. I used to run guided tours around Europe, and one of the worst and most helpless situations I've ever felt with a client or a guest was where the bags were missed the flights and then followed us around for 4 days, literally just missing us after we left each morning from a hotel. What do you sort of recommend putting in your carry-on that you really should have in there that you cannot live without and that would be an absolute lifesaver?
I mean, I have everything in my carry-on, so that's hard to tell, but I just want to say, too, I will say, though, that Rick Steve, one of the requirements of taking his tours is that you must carry it. You must have one bag, and it has to be carry-on, and you have to wear a money belt. That's the other requirement.
Who is it?
Rick Steve. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of his tours, you can only have one bag.
I've read a lot of his packing stuff. He has some good ideas.
Yeah, he does, and he has excellent minimal packing ideas for men, because he really does walk the walk with the packing, but as far as what is the crucial for me is any kind of medication that you have to have, all your travel documents, a change of underclothes. They make these wonderful little face pads that come in individual packets so you can wipe your face down. They make, you know, those little crest thingies or like little toothbrushes, any of that kind of stuff that you could use where you, if you're going to be laid over or your flight's going to be canceled and your bags might be somewhere. Anything that you truly feel like you could not live without, that your life would be in peril. So like your medicine, what else? What about you guys? What would be?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think you hit it, but deodorant.
I usually take an extra t-shirt and a pair of shorts to put in my carry-on. Put them in the bottom. And it also helps if I do have a bottle of something in there as well. It helps to grab it. But also, if my bag does go missing, I know I've got at least something to wear for a couple of days.
Right, exactly. Because it's nothing is worse, I think, than being someplace very far away and being stuck in whatever clothing.
Well, particularly if you've been traveling for a while to get there and you're tired and you feel grimy, the last thing you want to wear is what you've been wearing to travel.
Yeah. Well, and I think there are some things that you can't assume that you can purchase at a location. And that was, you know, the very first time my luggage was ever lost was my first trip to Europe as an adult where I didn't have my parents with me. And I was with a friend who had never been to Europe before. She'd never traveled outside the country at all. And our luggage was lost. We went to Venice and we were getting on a cruise ship. So we were in Venice a day before, but there was one flight from American Airlines that came into Venice each day. It came in at 1:30 and we were getting on our cruise ship at like 2. And so there was this like very tense, you know, yes, we have your bags, but they're going to be on the next flight, which doesn't get in until tomorrow at 1:30. Well, for me, I've always been a tall, larger girl, and I wasn't always, well, I guess I was always plus size by today's standards, but we won't have a political discussion about plus sizes, but I was an American size 10 when I was in my early 20s. You cannot go to Venice and find an American size 10. My friend, who was a modern dance teacher, found clothes everywhere, but if that bag had not arrived at the cruise port when it did, and there was a very dramatic arrival of the bag, because we literally were boarding without our bags. If it had not arrived, I would have been wearing the same outfit for 7 days.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
That and also two things like you can't take for granted, like an antibiotic ointment, for example, that you can buy over the counter here. In most European countries, you can't get it. So if you think that's something you're going to have, you've got kids that are going to get scraped, certain things like that, you do a little background research before you go, then you'll know
what. So what are the things, when you're packing your carry-on bag, what are the things you can just totally leave out? What are the things you can pretty much get anywhere? Is deodorant on that list? Can you get deodorant?
Well, I mean, I don't even use a travel deodorant. I have this tiny little deodorant that I think. Container that I have, so I've gotten just about everything in a pharmacy somewhere if I needed it, with the exception of the antibiotic ointment. For some reason, it's just not sold. What do you think? I mean, sure, I'm not going to leave home without your medication, whatever your prescription is. But if you do, you probably still can get it. No, I don't know. I don't think there's ever been any trip I've taken where I've said, "Gee, I wish I had this." There's certain things I have to have with me. I need a pair of what I call room pants. Like a pair of stretchy pants that I can change out of my clothes and just kind of lay around in. And that's not negotiable for me. Everybody has something that's not negotiable. You've got to have it. What would yours be?
I don't know, actually. I think like a pair of pajamas, something that I can sleep in that is comfortable, because you never know if a hotel room's going to be really cold something that I can sleep overnight in is important. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, ever since that Venice thing, I always have to make sure I have one change of clothes, because again, for someone my size, there's just fashionable Italy is not designed for me unless I want to look like I'm 80 years old, in which case there's plenty. But you know, in Italy, apparently you do not gain weight until you are 80. And I just am not really, ready for that. So
I just wanted to say too that there's this website called Travel Fashion Girl, and they have all these tips on there. As a woman who kind of left the corporate world and she has embraced traveling around the world, and she has a huge Facebook group. And also Polyvore, if you've not played with Polyvore before, it's like electronic paper dolls. You can build your wardrobe. You choose the clothing that you own or things that look like it, and then you can match the pants to the shirt and see if it matches with the shoe. You can move the shirts around.
I don't know what I'm doing later.
I was going to say, that sounds like the perfect way to waste time in your 9-to-5 job.
It's awesome. But it actually helps visually to help you lay it out. Is this going to look good? Is this ridiculous?
Am I packing all these outfits that look exactly
right? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you, Heidi, for sharing your tips with us.
Thank you, Heidi.
On behalf of Lindsay, Sandy, Amy, Andy, Robin, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we will see you next week. Gotta fly!